Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Institute, headquartered here in Mesa, Arizona. It is a lovely morning. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the sun shining, the birds singing, a little bit of a breeze, just knowing that the beautiful spirit of our Creator is flowing through me and around me and through you and around you this morning. We have a great broadcast, and this is just the beginning of a whole series of work that we'll be doing with religion, spirituality, and disability. This morning, we will be doing a live broadcast for today and the following shows until July 7th will be follow-up shows that will be reruns in our archives, because the staff of White Apple Institute will be involved in a very beautiful research project that deals with teacher faculty development and helping teachers around the world to understand more about themselves. So we encourage all of our listeners to go back into the archives of our shows and listen and gain knowledge, apply it in your daily lives, what you've learned from the student to teacher show already. Today, we have Dr. Ann Williamson, who's an adjunct college instructor through the Maricopa Community College Systems. And she is also a theologian, quite prominent in the metaphysical community, but also has a very strong background in the Christian foundation and shares a beautifully fresh perspective on our topic today, with religious teachers talk to students with disabilities. She'll be sharing with us some of the case studies that we've been dealing with in the college system with adult learners who have been in some way perplexed by the factor that their disability, they perceive, remember it's all about perception, that they perceive that their disability may hinder them in some way from doing things in life. And truly, everyone has some hindrance in doing things, some boundaries that either they can find a way to overcome or they can ignore and pursue their goals on another path. It goes back to that very well-known poetic expression of God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference between the two. That's right, the wisdom to know the difference between what I can change and what I cannot change. And so we encourage our students, all of our listeners, all of our teachers in special education, in mainstream education, in from Sunday schools around the world to teachers within your own community. Remember, we're all teachers and students. We encourage all of you to take heart to the discussion that we're going to have this morning. Students ask the question to their teachers, why did God make me this way? Why? What did I do wrong? Or why can't I think and talk and walk and have relationships like other students? How does a teacher answer these questions, and what are the boundaries? If there are boundaries, again, in how we answer questions, especially if we're in a classroom setting, an academic classroom setting, and we're dealing with such a delicate matter. This can sometimes lean into even the personal issues of the professor, the teacher, him or herself, who may be indeed dealing with their own disability. Remember, a disability is not necessarily one that you see, but we have many, many non-visible disabilities. So you may be talking to someone, you may have spoken to someone or many persons this week that are dealing with non-visible disabilities. And you might say, they look just fine. Well, I hope that even if they're in a wheelchair, that they look just fine. Everyone should look just fine. We don't want to see people scrounged over in pain and suffering. We want to see them with bright outlooks, with a positive attitude, an optimism about their life, an optimism that says, I can overcome this and I can figure out the answer of why did God not make me this way, but that I'm just a probability. Something happened in my environment. The law of cause and effect. Something happened. Laws were created before I was created. And so if someone's coming down the street towards a red light and getting ready to run it and runs into me, then that doesn't mean that God made it happen. This is what happened to me, folks. And what I did is I looked deep inside and found a way for God to manifest within me and to share the optimism that I found in believing in God and knowing that this, I don't have to wear the label of disability, that I don't have to believe that I have an expiration date until God says I have an expiration date. I don't have to believe that I cannot do something unless God tells me I can't do it. And if we go deep inside of ourselves, we'll find that God won't tell us that we can't do anything. If we want to climb a mountain and we have no legs, and it's been proven, we'll find a way to climb the mountain if that's what we really want to do. And God willing, we'll climb the mountain. Ropes, all kinds of adaptive equipment will help us climb the mountain. Blind or deaf will climb the mountain, whether it's a physical mountain or a spiritual mountain, something that we see in our hearts and minds. But that becomes a mountain in our life. We'll climb it. My friends, listeners out there, over 20,000 of you that have listened to this show since we've been on air since 2009, know that we believe that you can do it. If you believe it, you can conceive it, and you can achieve it. You are never alone. You are never without the power of God. So if our students can get that particular message, and let us hear again what would take a special look at the role religion has played in the success of students, and how African-American families even, who are very, most African-American families, not all, but all, most of them, are immersed in a very spiritual environment as far as church is concerned. And it's very difficult sometimes for these families to deal with a child with special needs. And they have to go very, very deep inside of themselves and understand that God did not make their child this way. But with their child being a certain way, that maybe they can raise that child to believe in themselves and not to believe that they are a product of sin, no different than anyone else is a product of sin. But things just happen. Teachers can't answer these philosophical questions. But one thing we urge teachers to do is to be open-minded enough not to be so involved in what their personal perspective is, to be objective enough in their belief system to know that there are different types of religions. And students may come to them from the religion of Islam, say, for instance, and still need some direction. When you look at the Quran, the disability in the Quran, we attempt to understand how the God Allah places great responsibility on the people in the community to take care of those who are considered disabled or physically limited. The Quran does not focus on the notion of disability. It focuses on the notion of disadvantage, however. And with that disadvantage, encourages its believers to take responsibility and deal with the social, economic, and physical attributes of the people at that of their time and within their community. And it's really, that's the foundation of the Bible and the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes a little bit deeper into the issues of disability as he encourages his listeners when he says that... Let me just read your story before we bring Dr. Ann Williamson on, and maybe this will clear things up a little bit. The powers and principalities, the dark rulers of the universe, millions of unseen beings are intensely interested to see just how able God is to sustain the weak and weary. This is from Joni and friends. Joni is a quadriplegic who has done marvelous work. She was in a diving accident at the age of 17 and has never considered her disability a liability. She's an internationally known mouth artist. She paints with her mouth, okay, some beautiful, beautiful paintings. We thank Joni Erickson-Tata for the work that she's doing with disability concerns around the world, a world evangelism movement. Anyway, she goes on to share this story. In Ephesians 3:10, it tells us that God teaches the unseen world all about himself, and he does it using you and me and his audiovisual as his audiovisual aids. See, we are used to the Lord to show how the universe is, how great and how awesome and wonderful God is and his graces are. Let's say some demon dares waltz up to heaven's throne and sneer. God, people only trust you because you bless them with health and strength. But let me put a kink in the lower back of some missionary, then allow me to take away his financial support. I just bet that missionary would end up denying you. Sounds a little like that Job story, doesn't it? But God would answer, oh no, you're wrong. The exact scenario happened to Mr. Brown, and he trusted Joni and worked through his obedience. And because of his testimony, many more people heard about Jesus' love. At that point, the demon would shrink away and the glory surrounding God would glow even brighter. Mr. Brown's suffering not only helped him to grow in Christ, but it demonstrated how powerful God's sustaining grace is. One day it will be shown to all that God was able to rescue sinners, redeem suffering, crush the rebellious, restore all things, vindicate his holy name, provide restitution, and come out of all the more glorious for it. What an honor to share in that. And that is from Joni Erickson Tada's book, More Precious Than Silver. We appreciate her work so much. If you are paralyzed, remember, you can still walk with God. If you are deaf, you are still able to hear the word of God. If you are blind, you are nevertheless able to see the light. And even if you are mentally handicapped, you can have the mind of Christ. So without further ado, we're going to bring on Dr. Ann Williamson. And thank you for being part of the show. We open up the chat line now so that for those of you who are interested in coming on board and discussing any issues with Dr. Ann Williamson, I will encourage you, because of the short time we have, we close at 10:30, that you write in your answer into the chat, and I'll pick it up on the computer screen and share with our audience as much as I can. Are you there, Dr. Williamson?
I sure am.
Well, thank
Hi,
you so much.
Hi, Dr. Danita.
Yes. The apple white. The white apple is...
The white apple. How are you this morning? No, you don't have to tell me. I can tell you right now. You are just fine, perfect, and just walking in the light. That's what you are this morning.
Thank you.
And I know that everybody is very appreciative to all the work that you have done via this media system that is reaching over 20,000 people around the globe. Whether they're tuning in right now, we just know that the message that you have delivered and is delivering is being heard by those, as you say, can hear. Even if you are deaf, you can hear the word that is being so eloquently expressed through you.
Yes,
through
thank you.
Thank you. You're most
thank
welcome.
You, yes. you're an instructor with
yep.
the college system, and there are so many people out there, Dr. Williamson, who are not aware that we even have a disability resource office, that when students have any type of disability, mental handicap, learning disability, dyslexia, any of those things, that
yes.
they have accommodations available to them, and they go to the office and they get a slip, a piece of paper that says, teacher, please provide accommodations. And I know that you've received them, and I hopefully that you can tell us how you deal with some of these students and the factor that we encourage students out there. I need to say this. In light of the accommodations that we as teachers give our students, is that it is not necessary for a student to tell an instructor what your disability is. It is only necessary for you to go and get a sheet that says the accommodations, because the instructor is not a medical doctor or a psychiatrist or psychologist, unless, of course, you know, that is their trade, but still they're not in that position to diagnose you or to know what your limitations are. The accommodations are what is important.
That is so true. Usually the students have taken care of that little meeting with the people over in the office, and if they are enrolled in your class prior to the first day, you may have already received notice from that particular office stating that this student requires accommodations. And on the slip, it will usually tell you what type of accommodations that are needed for a better learning environment or a better learning experience. Let me put it like that, a better learning experience for that particular student. And the reason why I use the word experience, better learning experience, is because so many of our students who have been classified or have been labeled XYZ have had traumatic experiences in classrooms.
Yeah.
Because of two reasons, or even more. Well, maybe three. Number one, they come in there with a low self-esteem, and so they're beating up on themselves because they have been so-called labeled this, that, and the other. Secondly, in prior classes, teachers may not have taken the time, the energy to work with the students one-on-one or counsel with them. And I use the word counsel in a very loosely way, not a psychological counsel or anything like that that they can take care of in the counseling department. Counseling in this matter that students feel safe enough to come to you and talk to you after class.
That's right.
And
you are that person. You are very, very kind. What is that third one?
And the third one is, I want to say, just their fellow peers in the classroom. You know, just starting in elementary school throughout the years, students can be very cruel to other students that are a little bit different.
Yes.
And it just doesn't stop when you leave elementary school. It does not stop when they graduate from high school. It continues, even in college classrooms.
Yes.
And if you are a little bit different, some students do not have the capability of being compassionate towards someone else that is different.
That's right. Yes. Very reflective of the society that we live in also.
Yes. And it's very interesting and that you should say very reflective of the society in which we live in because I will begin with the economic situation that is going on in not only in our country but in countries around the globe that people are finding themselves without certain
basic needs.
Just to share this story quickly, I know we're running out of time, but some people...
You have a good 5 minutes. Go ahead,
okay.
Take your time.
I just have a student, and he could definitely... he is a veteran. So, you know, with the newer veterans, they're coming back with all kinds of issues. Issues. That's a good word. And I think he's on disability for something. And he was married, and then now he's not. He has found himself without a home, without our basic needs. And this is just not, and then I talk to other teachers about this, you know, this is not common. This is not uncommon these days where our students are finding themselves, you know, with disabilities, with facing the fact of being homelessness, you know, homeless. And it is part of what I want to say our new society. This is part of our society. This is part of our community. This is part of who the people that who we live with. This is not something that we used to read about and say, "Oh yeah, that's not going to happen to anybody that I know of, or anybody like me." Blah blah blah. No, this is commonplace.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
15 years ago, when I started teaching in the college system, my emphasis at that time was reading and the non-traditional student.
Yes.
Well, these days, the non-traditional student is basically the traditional student. So however we defined the traditional student 15, 20 years ago, it was those students that came straight out of high school, straight into college, straight into whatever the occupation that they were training for. That is not so. Non-traditional covers the whole gamut. Adults returning into the college field, we are seeing more students with disabilities coming into to the schools.
And
they have to
your reading classes. What do you share with a student of this nature? How do you share with this veteran? I'm a veteran myself, and it's real important for me to know, as I'm dealing with other veterans, what someone of your caliber would say to encourage him.
To encourage this young man is to let him, or a young lady, is to let him, first of all, don't give up. Don't give up. If you can just, I want to say, just hang in there. Things do turn around. Situations do turn around. Don't hang up. Find a support group. Find people who are going to be compassionate to whatever it is that is going on with them. Just don't give up. Do not be discouraged. Find a couple of people that they can really be part of, I would say, their tribe or their community, their own personal community that they can talk to, that they can go to. My one student opened up to the class the other night and said, "You know, I never done this before, but I need help."
Mm-hmm.
And my class was open enough to listen, not make any comments. They talked to him after class.
Wonderful.
And so, therefore, you know, there is hope. And because he opened up, they're going to be open enough to listen for leads or suggestions or places that he can go.
Well, as we close our show, Dr. Williamson, and we were going to have you definitely come back again.
I would love that.
We want to give you a plug at least for your new show on Blog Talk Radio Network. Would you please tell us how to connect with you?
The name of my radio program, and thank you for allowing me to say this, is The Joy of Wealthy Living. That's wealthy with a W. Wealthy Living. And we're on every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
Yes. Go ahead. Close out.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And I know that you are with our listeners in closing with the fact that they can, like you said, don't give up. They can do whatever they put their mind to doing, and they can get through school, especially when they have instructors like you, Dr. Williamson. And I know, and we encourage them to look for instructors like you wherever they are in the United States, in the world. There are people like Dr. Williamson who bring joy into the classroom. And we are going to close now with our show and wish you much love and peace, all of our listeners out there, as we thank Nazim Rashid for his great music in opening and closing our show. And we thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you.
God bless.